Well, never let it be said that David Coverdale isn't a man who keeps his promise. We have a live album from Whitesnake, and it was promised a long time ago, wasn't it, David?
It was, indeed. It's a fulfilment of my promises to the people on Whitesnake.com, who are very hardcore Whitesnake fans around the world. And they were, you know, I asked them what they want from me. And the first thing they said was a live in concert DVD, which I delivered at the beginning of the year. Live Greatest Hits, which it's coming your way now. And some new stuff, and there's an appetizer for a new record on air. But I will be doing a full set of new songs, you know. These will only be featured on this live record.
They always say that live albums are a kind of end of a chapter, and yet with this, you've got the beginning, middle, and the next bit.
But
really.
But I do feel it's an end with a glimpse into the future. This year's been... It's like Lord of the Snakes, the trilogy, for me this time. It feels that this is like the closing of a particular chapter. I can't fully articulate it, John, but it feels that way. You know, I think it's there's no way I can move forward and keep dragging a lot of the past with me. Mm-hmm. One of the inspirations for me to do some new stuff is that many years ago, I would only every 3 or 4 years. You know, putting out a new album out every 3-4 years. Whereas now, I'm coming out and doing for about 4 months a year, 4 or 5 months a year, and loving it. You know, I wasn't really anticipating making a full commitment to make new records again. But it feels appropriate, and all the bits and pieces are coming in, coming together. But there's a lot of song, you know, in those days, doing a tour every 4 years, the songs stayed fresh. But doing them every year, I'm having to dig very deep on some of them to be able to do them properly. Mm-hmm. Some of them are getting just a bit dusty.
I mean, having said that, you have an immense back catalogue. I was going to say a large back catalogue, but everything you have is large, I believe.
Darling.
But no, seriously, you have so much excellent material to draw upon. It must be difficult to pick a set list that is going to satisfy you, but also going to satisfy the audience as well.
Well, it's also different parts of the world, too, because America's embraced a different a chapter of the Snakes. But one of the things that I'm hoping to achieve with this is to introduce people, which I succeeded with to a certain extent with the DVD, because it did very well in America, too, to introduce those earlier songs, which I never, ever featured, The Walking in the Shadow of the Blues, Don't Break My Heart Again, mm-hmm. those things. But yes, it is hard. Pretty much 60%, 65% of the Whitesnake show is Your Here I Go Again, Still of the Night, Is This Love. I've got to, you know, do the songs, otherwise I'd be castrated. And no one wants that.
Absolutely not, least of all yourself.
But next year, for instance, it's the 20th anniversary of the 87 record. So I think I'm going to try to base the show next year around the core. You know, the core of the show will be the 87 record.
Yeah.
And do songs. I've only ever done 4 off there because of that problem with having a bunch of good songs, you know. So I've only really done 4. So next year I'm going to try Straight for the Heart, Looking for Love, Don't Turn Away. And that, to me, is dead exciting. You know, to do that. And then throw in some new stuff. I purposely kept some of these songs short enough to be able to throw in there. You know, none of them are the big epics. I'm saving those for the album.
Having said that, 20 years is a long enough time to sort of look over your shoulder and go, actually, you can get excited about something again, can't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, when I work on them, for instance, I got excited about some of the earlier songs when I was working on compilation records called The Early Years and the Silver Anniversary Collection for EMI to celebrate 25 years of Whitesnake. Uh-huh. And remastering them and listening to them going, you know what, that ain't bad. That was a good little song. Because I'm not somebody who lives in the past. I learn from the past and I move on, you know. But because of these songs, and some of them still fit really nice and some of them don't. Mm-hmm. I look upon, you know, it's a goofy analogy, but it's like clothes. I tried Mistreated for this last tour this year. Rehearsal, the band were playing it blistering. I start singing it, and I'm singing it absolutely on. It just didn't feel right. It
That's
just
the
did
thing,
not
though, isn't
feel
it?
Right.
If it doesn't feel right, you're not going to fake it, are you?
No, it's not me. I'm not going to pretend for anybody. And I know I'd set up in interviews that I was going to do it, and
yeah,
it disappointed
you told me
some
last
people.
Year.
Yeah, it disappointed some people, you know. And I'm going, what? You come to the show for one song?
I can't be responsible for that.
You know,
what's the point in doing a song and people walking away? There's no point. And
but
you've
no,
got to feel good about it.
You know, the band were nailing it, and there's no question I could sing it again. It was the feeling aspect that I have, you know. And some of the songs, I've got to say, and I don't like saying the songs, because when I have done that before, it's broken people's hearts. You're never going to do, you know. But because there are certain songs that are just an intensely deep part of the backdrop of people's lives. You know, some of the music. It's very humbling to find out just how one particular song meant so much to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was always something going on in those old days to pee me off, to give me that fuel to be angry enough to sing that song. And I don't have that anymore. And I don't, you know, if I worked with Richie, I'd have no choice. I'd have to do it, you know. But right now I do, and I wasn't prepared to pretend that I was, you know, feeling it.
Well, the nice thing that I like about this album, and I know that it surprised a lot of people when Burn turned up in the second Stormbringer. It's a great Deep Purple song. It's a great song, period, but you've definitely snaked it.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it's not just a redone thing. It's a good song.
Well, Purple were great players, are great players, or however you want to describe it. But in fact, recently, I was sharing with Glenn last night, I pulled out the California Jam DVD when I was working out the other day. I've got a TV at the end of my treadmill, so anything to stop the boring run. And I was going, geez, that was a blistering version too. But you're right, it's very different, and this was snaked up. It was actually the band who came up with the idea for that, because mm-hmm. all of my musicians were influenced by the Burn record, you know, back when it came out. So it was their idea. And I said, well, work it up and have a listen to it, you know. And I wasn't really thinking anything more of it, just give them a crack at doing it. And I came in and they scorched it, you know, so it was impossible for me not to sing along with it. And the great thing is, when we opened with that in 2004, I could see a percentage of the audience, the disbelief on their faces that we were doing this again. And it was like, yeah! And I could also see like the newer members of the Whitesnake crowd looking like, huh?
Yeah.
What's this? And my board, whitesnake.com, lit up, going like, what's that song they're opening with? And this year, I just got a major check from Deep Purple, which, you know, is related to people going back and researching, you know, picking up the Burn record now. It's amazing.
You've mentioned your website. I mean, that must be great for you, because you can plug in and the fans can plug in. And it's literally pure. There's no middleman, is there?
It's, my webmaster.
Well, you know, in the sense
poor
that...
Poor Albert.
Yeah, but in the sense that if, you know, if people want to hear direct from the horse's mouth, as it were, they just go there.
Well, that's initially what I wanted to do, because I've never had like the greatest relationship with the press. And, you know, the internet is an immensely powerful tool.
Mm.
Whitesnake.com is a global site. You know, everyone, how can it, let me articulate even further. People from all over the world come on there. And I've learned a great deal. You know, John, for most of my life, I'm still an intensely private man and very protective of my family. I try to keep what I do professionally away from my home. When I started a website, it was in essence to be a kind of information place where you could come and find out, you know, what was going on. I didn't expect to make such an open, chest-bearing, you know, the bulletin board we have, the Snakebite Cafe. And it was marvelous because I really wasn't busy at that time, so I could answer people's questions.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting for me that I'd feel very comfortable being honest. And the marvelous thing was, people mostly knew me from the songs, of course, but from interviews with journalists most of the time. And most of the journalists don't ask the questions that the audience want to hear.
Well, that's a job for them. They're not fans. They're paid to do the job.
Exactly. Or whatever. And, of course, a lot of the time, certainly with me in my home country, it was always a hatchet job anyway. So, I mean, I would walk into those interviews bristling with armor and self-defense mechanisms, you know, that... And it just wasn't me coming across that. I'll see some of those interviews and go, ow, oof, who's that, you know? So all of that was to try to bypass those things. And we, you know, it's like over 70,000 to 100,000 hits a day we get on that site. It's huge. We've got a fantastic webs, you know, fan base and website through there. But yeah, so, you know, and that's what I'm saying, that the whole output of Whitesnake this year is related to what they've wanted from me.
Okay, well, in closing then, we have the new double live album with some new tracks on, giving you a taster for what's going to come next year, hopefully. Live in the Shadow of the Blues. If people want to find out what's coming up, they just have to log on to whitesnake.com, I guess.
Or SPV now. You know, I've got great, some new pals there. But isn't it cool? I notice you're doing it's the internet stuff. It's amazing.
Well, mine grew out of my radio program, Look Ahead. And when, of course, in this country, there was the huge purge of rock radio programs, the website had actually sort of gained a foothold all of its own. So I was very lucky in that sense, really. Yeah. But... the internet's great. And of course, I mean, I get people writing to me from America and Japan and France and everyone. Yeah. It's great, obviously, on a much lesser scale than yourself. But I mean, that's the whole thing. It's great.
The marvelous thing. Yeah, that you don't have to look at, say, a classic rock magazine or whatever. You can get that stuff now on the States online. And that's one of the things. All my newspapers are on my laptop.
Do you know what? I wonder if Pete Townsend should claim royalties on that, because if you remember, Who's Next was all about that. It was kind of very early version.
Oh, it was amazing. So, well, Pete has always been, you know, a visionary in that sense. But no, you know, quite honestly, my website will light up, or my webmaster will say, OK, David's doing an interview so-and-so on this particular date. And everybody will just tune into that internet scenario if the speed's fast enough. I think it's an amazing possibilities. We've just started tapping into it. It's an immense source of information for me. And thank God I use it for positive, you know, means or whatever.
Well, as ever, David, it's wonderful to speak to you. Thanks for taking the time today.
My pleasure, John. Nice to see you again.
Lovely to see you again.